welcome to your Monday edition, and let me correct myself, victory Monday edition of 49ers Live. We've got Joe Fan here, Kiana Martin sitting in for Ted Robinson, and Ted, you are missing a great day here on the set of 49ers Live because we're coming after a win. Things heated up in the Windy City, right?
We just talked about it before going on. You just wake up in the morning feeling better after a win, and it wasn't just any win. This one felt different, and it's because of the quarterback, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. And what, 293 passing yards, one pick, 26 of 37 passing. The numbers aren't gaudy, but it was better than what the numbers showed you. And I'll tell you why. We've got an extended highlight package here for you, just showing you everything, how it went down yesterday in Chicago at Soldier Field. Let's run the tape as the 49ers get their second win of the season. Absolutely perfect conditions at Soldier Field. The 49ers get the ball first. Here really set the tone. Third and 10, his first completion of the day, a 15-yard pass to Marquise Goodwin. Same drive, under center now, off of play action rolling to his left, one of Shanahan's favorite plays with Kyle Juszczyk leaking out to the left. That's another sizable gain. That one goes for 16. Then it's Garoppolo to Garrett Celek for an 8-yard gain. Same drive, second and 17. All of a sudden, the 49ers get a first down as Garoppolo shows he's mobile, looking downfield, keeping his eyes downfield, as you saw all game long, ends up getting 8 yards. Tack on 15. After the personal foul, Marquise Goodwin. That's my quarterback. Don't touch my quarterback. Robbie Gould, good for the first time of what would be 5 field goals. That one was from 33. Here's Mitchell Trubisky, the Dontrell Inman, an 8-yard touchdown to put the Bears on top, and they would lead almost wire to wire at that point. Here's Garoppolo to Goodwin. Here's a span of 3 consecutive plays to set up the 49ers' next score. It's Trent Taylor over the middle. Nice, easy pitch and catch. He made the easy throws. He made the difficult throws. He was on time. He had pace. He had touch. Here's another big gain to Garrett Celek. That goes for 22 yards. And once again, it's Robbie Gould, a 28-yard field goal to make it a 1-point game. This is just bananas here. This is Tariq Cohen. And it's going to go in the box score as a 61-yard punt return. This guy ran about 300 yards on his way into the end zone, being chased by like 7 defenders right there. Hits the B button, spins back up the field, and all of a sudden he's off to the races. An unbelievable performance from the rookie in this one. The 49ers talked all week about how important it was to stop Tariq Cohen. That was a pivotal point in this game. He actually had a later punt return that was called back due to a penalty, something that was a huge play in this game. Back to Garoppolo, and he's going back to Marquise Goodwin. 8 catches for 99 yards for Goodwin in this one. Then, it's again on third down. You just find your man Trent Taylor, and he's got your back. That sets up Robbie Gould for a third time. From 35 yards out just before the half to make it 14-9. Now we jump ahead to the third quarter. And this is just ridiculous. Better to be lucky than good sometimes. And this one into triple coverage while taking a hit, Lewis Murphy comes up with a circus catch and a circus throw. That was followed by a pass to Goodwin. Then again on 3rd and 8, it's Trent Taylor over the middle. Gain of 15. Now it's Robbie Gould one more time to make it 14-12. Mind you, this is Robbie Gould's former team. He spent more than a decade in Chicago before being cut in 2016. I think that was on his mind, or you better believe it. Now 5:27 left. Starting at their own 8-yard line, here comes Jimmy G. First play of the drive, 13-yard gain to Marquise Goodwin. Then it's Carlos Hyde, his best run of the game. Bounces it outside, a nice block downfield. He picks up 18 near midfield. And this is the dagger play of the game on 3rd and 9. What else would you do but throw it to Trent Taylor, for crying out loud? Over the middle for a gain of 33 yards. All of a sudden, the 49ers are in field goal range. A chance to bleed the clock here with under 2 minutes remaining. Kyle Juszczyk, a huge first down here. All of a sudden, the 49ers burn the Bears' last 2 timeouts and get it down to 8 seconds left. And it's Robbie Gould. Who's fired up? Robbie Gould's fired up. The emotion from the ever-stoic Robbie Gould. He's feeling himself. Jimmy G gives you a silent fist pump on the sideline. The 49ers have their second win of the season on the road, 15-14 over the Bears.
See it right there, Robbie Gould with that game winner. Jimmy Garoppolo just talked about him. Went 26 of 37, 293 yards. He set the franchise record for most passing yards by a player in his first start. The 49ers also held the Bears to just 147 yards overall, the fewest allowed since, guess what team it was?
You tell me.
Chicago Bears in 2012. Now, in Garoppolo's starting debut, I mean, we got to see what he could do. Now, my question to you, Joe, is it too soon? Can I say it? Is this guy the real deal?
Yeah, I mean, it is too soon because it is only one start, and you have to take that with a grain of salt. But it's okay to be excited. We're excited. As a fan, you should be excited because here's what this situation is. When you feel like you have a quarterback, and make no mistake, if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you have nothing. And so the second you find a quarterback, you solve a lot of problems immediately. And so what does that give you? That gives you hope. That gives you hope that all of a sudden, maybe the course of this franchise has shifted directions and your timeline jumps forward a year or two. Can you imagine going into the offseason with $100 million in cap space and the draft capital that 49ers have? Oh, and by the way, you're not in the market for a quarterback because you've got your guy? That's an incredible place to be. And he gets four games left in this season, both on the road and at home, to continue to build chemistry, learn Kyle Shanahan's playbook. I mean, this isn't a guy, look at these throws, who looked like he was just 30 days into Kyle Shanahan's playbook. Granted, the game plan this week was designed for Garoppolo, so he was completely comfortable with what was going in to this game. But whether he had a clean pocket, which he did quite a bit, give credit to the 49ers offensive line up front, he was comfortable, he was poised, he stood tall, he took a hit and delivered strikes. Again, it was a variety of throws. You saw the bullet passes. You saw some touch passes like this. No need to zing it in there. Just get it to your guy and let him run upfield. Straight drops, off of play action, rolling out to his left and right, being patient, keeping his eyes downfield. You saw that 8-yard scramble in that first drive of the game. I mean, he's pointing downfield, trying to engineer and direct traffic, and so he can get a guy open downfield. At the very end, he uses his legs and gets 8 yards. But what you saw is this guy belongs 100%. And mind you, I understand the naysayers. This is a Bears team that only has 3 wins. It's a Vic Fangio-led defense. 49ers fans know Vic Fangio very well. Top 15 defense going into that game. A top 10 pass defense going into that game. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I wrote about it last night, and I've already mentioned it, 100% passed the eye test.
Now, make sure you guys tweet in, write in your questions for Joe and I. But I kind of want to bounce off of what you just said. If you look back, you name names, Garrett Celek, Kyle Juszczyk, Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, 9 different receivers. And 2 of those receivers, Marquise and Trent Taylor, 14 of 14, 191 yards between the two of them. What did you see with, I mean, especially having Pierre Garçon out, these two step up. What did you see out of those guys?
Marquise Goodwin is quietly having a very nice year. He needs, 80 yards per game over the last 4, an outside shot at getting that 1,000-yard season. He's already set a career high in receiving yards. He's caught 12 of his last 14 targets. Yesterday, Trent Taylor and Marquise Goodwin absolutely stepped up. Marquise Goodwin catching all 8 of his passes. And again, we know this guy coming in here as he's the big play threat. He's a home run hitter, but we're seeing him develop into that complete receiver, making catches in traffic, taking big hits, and still completing the catch. Trent Taylor. Talk about Trent Taylor. We got a flu game in Chicago. Tell me if you've heard that before. MJ would be proud. You're in Michael Jordan City. You're throwing up all morning. And you go out there and catch, 6 for 92? That's a heck of a game for the rookie when he was, counted on the most, and that's huge. Those guys stepping up for Jimmy Garoppolo because, yeah, there were times where guys were wide open, and there were times where Jimmy's fitting balls into real tight windows, and he was delivering it on time, absolute strikes. Those guys making plays on clutch moments, third down, 10 of 18 on third down. Not only that, they were 4 of 7 on third and long, as defined by 6 yards or more. Here's one example of it. I mean, those are just clutch, big-time plays. And to talk about these dominant numbers, the score obviously won't show it. The 49ers led for, the minority of the game. Didn't take the lead until 4 seconds left, but it just felt like the 49ers were going to win this game throughout. You're moving the ball throughout this game consistently. Obviously, you go 0-4 in the red zone before that last drive. The last drive, I'll call it a wash because they weren't trying to get in the end zone at that point. You're trying to, bleed the clock, kick that last-second field goal. You're a couple touchdowns away from blowing out the Chicago Bears. Let me just read off some of these numbers. 23 first downs compared to 8 first downs. On third down, the 49ers 10 of 18 compared to 5 of 10 for Chicago. Total net yards, 368 to 147, more than doubled them up. Offensive plays, this one's the crazy one to me. 73 offensive plays for the 49ers, just 36 for the Bears. To put that in perspective, the 49ers ran the ball 34 times. Chicago only had 36 offensive plays throughout the entire game. means the 49ers are getting off of the field defensively as well. You look at playing time, 38-47, time of possession to 21-43 or 21-13 for the Bears. Comprehensively, a dominant performance. Now, obviously, you just got to find a way to get in the end zone. Can't shoot yourself in the foot with those big penalties.
You talk about time of possession. Before coming into this game, the 49ers were at the bottom of the league with just under 27 minutes going through the first 12 weeks of the season. Also, on third down, 26th in the league in converting on third down attempts. So good performance right there. Now I kind of got to talk about the obvious. Our guy, Robbie Gould, goes back to the city of Chicago where he spent 11 seasons as the kicker, goes back, kicks the game winner. I mean, how must that feel for him?
I loved it because Robbie's such a politician. I remember going back to when we had the one-on-one with all the specialists in the car, and we're driving through and trying to bust their chops a little bit and get them kind of talking smack about each other. And Robbie Gould just on the straight and narrow, like, oh, you know, everybody's working hard. You know, everyone just wants to improve and get better. And he's like such so diplomatic. And you saw it yesterday several times after that last field goal, looking over to the Bears bench, the double fist pump. I loved it because you better believe that means a lot to him. A veteran in this league, spent more than a decade in Chicago. His family is still in Chicago. His wife and kids were at Soldier Field yesterday. You better believe that means a lot. There's a reporter that asked postgame. We have a podium game for a kicker? I love it. He was before Jimmy Garoppolo to the podium, right after Coach Shanahan, full pads and everything, hadn't even taken his jersey off. And a reporter asked, are we making too much of it? You know, is this, you know, not a revenge game, but just another game? He's like, no, you're not. He didn't really take it much further than that. Staying as political as possible, right down the middle. But you can see it all. You see that reaction and just how thrilled he was. You feel good for the guy. You predicted it in our four downs, predicting the game-winning Robbie Gould field goal. This is the second time he's done it. You know, against Arizona, he carried the team as well. Nice to get a win on this side. But a huge, huge story not to be outshined by Jimmy Garoppolo. Robbie Gould was huge yesterday and has been huge all season for this 49ers team.
Kudos to you, Robbie Gould.
Look at this.
Listen, he's my MVP, all right?
How hyped he is.
Look at him there. That's right. Now, you know, we're talking a little bit about the offense. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. We talked about Robbie Gould, his impact in this game. I want to switch the gears here and talk a little bit about the 49ers defense getting off the field on third down. Solomon Thomas said yesterday post game that the defense felt fresh. They felt energized going into the game because they didn't spend the whole time on the field. Yeah. What did you see from the defense?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to feel refreshed when you're playing, what, 21 minutes? I mean, that's ridiculous, especially like you said earlier, 49ers last in the league in time of possession. All of a sudden, that script flips completely where your team's converting third down after third down after third down. By the time you get back on the field, the horses are ready to go and get after Mitchell Trubisky. Only two sacks, but Solomon Thomas had a couple of pressures. You saw Cassius Marsh. He got his first sack in a 49ers uniform, continues to play a big role on this defense. Elvis Dumervil got his team leading fifth and a half sack. You say that,
Whatever, he's getting done.
He did it. He got it. There's Cassius Marsh forcing a fumble. Again, these are big plays on third down. You got to get pressure on these third and mediums. That's what happens when you win on first and second down. You create third and medium to third and long. You allow your pass rush to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. And look how much Mitchell Trubisky is having to move. They're getting off schedule. Taking a big hit from Adrian Colbert right there. 5 of 10, still 50%. But ultimately, you hold the team to 147 total yards. Mitchell Trubisky, just 102 total yards. I know fantasy experts going into this one are all about Jordan Howard going into this game. 13 carries, 38 yards. So you got to throw in the punt return touchdown in this one. Obviously, that's a huge momentum swing. And anytime you get a defense or a special team score, it does kind of change the complexion of the game. But the defense overall was fantastic. I mean, ultimately, I think you see Cassius Marsh force that fumble on the sack. You want to recover that football. You want to create those short fields. They didn't really do that yesterday. And again, only a couple of sacks. But the coverage is good downfield. And give shots. Akella Witherspoon played great. K'Wan Williams had a nice game. Dante Johnson, him and K'Wan both went out briefly, but both returned. Real quick on Akella Witherspoon, a cool nugget. I talked to Jeff Hafley on the field before the game yesterday. And we're talking about some of the rookies and guys he's working with. And he said Akella Witherspoon has progressed more in 6 months than he's ever seen from a rookie. And that's pretty incredible. And that's not saying he's the best rookie he's ever seen, because you got to figure out where guys are starting to where they are now. But that's not nothing. And I think it's a testament to what he's done, to what Jeff Halfley's done as a coach, the continuity there, keeping him on the staff as a carryover from 2016, one of the few coaches to be held on to the staff with Kyle Shanahan, came to San Francisco. But big ups to Akella Witherspoon, who continues to show well. I know it's hard. Patience is hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. It's hard for fans and everyone. We drafted this guy in the third round. Why isn't he on the field? You know, well, give the guy some time. You can't judge a guy on his rookie year. You go from, what, combine to OTAs to minicamp to training camp, and this guy's trying to figure out how to tie which shoe first and, you know, play an NFL team, and all of a sudden you're expecting to perform on Sunday. It's not like that for everybody. Akella Witherspoon developing very quickly.
We're talking about a draft pick. We actually just got a question in from David. I know a lot of people are wondering, especially because 49ers fans, we can feel good following this last performance. I mean, it might not show it exactly on the score, like you said, but just going in through the game, seeing the numbers, you can feel good about it. But with that being said, David wants to know, what position should the 49ers look towards in the upcoming draft?
I love this. I love this question, because your first question, your first response finally isn't quarterback, right? I mean, how wild is that? For so many years, it's which quarterback, I think, you know, they're going to have a chance at getting Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. You know, are they going to go for one of the top guys, you know, the Patrick Mahomes, the Sean Watson, the Sean Kaisers? All of a sudden, you get to look elsewhere. And if you decide there's no one at the top of the draft you want elsewhere, maybe you have a chance to trade out of that pick because someone wants to come up and get Josh Allen or Saquon Barkley. This guy right here, the arrival of Jimmy Garoppolo cannot be understated. And this is the point I want to make. For a team to turn things around in a rebuild, you have to get lucky. There are points when you have to get lucky and catch a break. You have to catch a break in the draft. You have to catch a break and stay healthy. You have to catch a break in free agency. Look at how big Seattle's signings are of Cliff Avril and Michael Benton, how crucial those guys have been to turn around. They could have never dreamed that those guys have been as good as they were. Those are the breaks I'm talking about. And I can guarantee you, going into those last 48 hours before the trade deadline, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan weren't waking up and saying, "Oh, we're going to get Jimmy Garoppolo today." And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and Bill Belichick says, "We need a second-round pick. Think about it." 49ers mold over for 10 minutes, pull the trigger. And all of a sudden, like I said, it changes the complete complexion and outlook and future of your franchise. And this isn't to overstate. I don't think I'm overstating this. I don't think I'm embellishing. That's how crucial having a quarterback is. And what you saw from Jimmy Garoppolo is potentially the start of something very special. There will be bumps in the road. There will be ups and downs. He is by no means Tom Brady or will ever be Tom Brady. But like I said, you have nothing if you don't have a quarterback. The 49ers might have one now. And that's, to me, a break in the middle of the season, an unexpected, that something that fell into the 49ers' lap. Those are the breaks you need to fall your way as you turn things around. So that's a long-winded answer back to the original question. I have no idea what position. I think you want a bona fide star number one receiver. I think you want a bona fide star edge rusher. Are those guys there at the top end of the first round? I'm not sure. You know, draft season is shortly upon us, and the second that the season ends, we'll dive in and start to learn some of the top draft prospects in this game, but in this class. But you have the flexibility now, and I think that can't be overstated. That's huge. To be able to trade back, if your phone rings, hey, we're going to trade a mint so we can get Josh Allen or Sam Darnold. Okay. It'll be two firsts, a second, a third. Back up the Brinks truck. We want it all.
There we go. Now, you kind of led us into this next one, and you talked about the importance of having a quarterback, having someone to build around. Next week, heading down to Houston, Texas, H-Town, to face the Texans. What do we have to look forward to?
I think it's another winnable game. You know, the 49ers have two wins right now, and you look at the head of the schedule, you got Houston on the road, Tennessee at home, Jacksonville at home, which would be a great test, by the way. That fantastic defense, a fantastic secondary against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers offense. And you finish the season on the road against Los Angeles. But you look ahead to Houston. You want to talk about a team that knows the value of a quarterback? Look at how the course of their season shifted with Deshaun Watson's torn ACL at practice. You go from losing a narrow game on the road in Seattle where you put up 40 points against the Seahawks defense, which, as the 49ers know, ain't easy to do. Deshaun Watson torched him for four quarters. All of a sudden, Tom Savage comes in. You've lost five of your last six. The division's gotten away from you. It looks like Tennessee is going to win that. You lose a divisional game yesterday on the road, a winnable game. Tennessee didn't play great. boy, Houston put up 13 points. You've got great weapons. DeAndre Hopkins is a fantastic player. Lamar Miller is a talented running back. Bruce Ellington, old friend, is there. But if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much. And the Texans are learning that the hard way. I would expect this to be, I don't know if the 49ers will be favored, but it's absolutely a winnable game. You look at defensively, J.J. Watt's not there. They've had a number of injuries. Jadeveon Clowney's the one guy you got to watch there. He's been fantastic this year. But I would expect this to be a winnable game, very competitive game. I don't think there's any reason why the 49ers can't win their second straight road game.
Now, I spent much of yesterday hanging out with our friends on Twitter, writing back and forth. You were actually there in Chicago. I want to ask you, how was that plane ride home?
Yeah.
First road win of the season?
It's a whole lot shorter when you come off a win. Just as similar when you get up in the morning on a Monday and you go to work and get ready to prepare for this live show. A little bit more fun when you have, what, a four-minute highlight package that you start with going through Jimmy Garoppolo and how good he was yesterday. It's fun. I think it's something that fans have been dying for a long time. Fans have been deserving for a long time. Patience, again, is hard. Trust me, I'm a Mariners fan. I haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. I get it. But you should be excited. Have that hope, because hope goes a long ways. Granted, a lot of things still have to happen. Do you offer him a short-term contract, a long-term contract? Do you franchise tag him? Whatever the case may be. I mean, how do you spend that $100 million? How do you use that draft capital? Because you have to hit again. You have to hit the same way you hit in 2016. John Lynch had a fantastic first draft. You got to do it again. You got to do it again the next year. It all starts at the quarterback position. Jimmy Garoppolo gave us a lot to be excited about yesterday.
Drop mic right there. I think that's going to do it for us.
That's all I got.
That's all we got.
It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week. Great win over the Chicago Bears. We look ahead next week to the Houston Texans. From us here at 49ers Live, Joe Fan, Kiana Martin, you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you guys next week.